Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.
From KQED.
From KQED Public Radio in San Francisco, this is Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer. A blockbuster series by ProPublica reveals how the very wealthiest Americans, like Elon Musk and Jeff Bezos, use the tax code to pay little or, in some cases, no income tax whatsoever. We'll talk with a ProPublica investigator about the series and what it might mean for calls to create a so-called wealth tax. Then the Sierra snowpack is gone 2 months earlier than usual, and reservoirs throughout the state are low. Yesterday, Santa Clara County declared a water shortage emergency. We'll hear what all of us will be dealing with over the long, hot summer and beyond. That's next on Forum, right after the news. Welcome to Forum. I'm Scott Schaefer. It is, of course, well known that the wealthiest Americans have plenty of ways to avoid paying their fair share of income taxes. But a series of reports by ProPublica this week spells out in great detail, using leaked IRS documents, exactly how the richest of the rich, we're talking now people like Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, and Michael Bloomberg, pay relatively little or even no income taxes at all, by using legal loopholes written into the tax code to benefit people like them. The report comes as President Biden and progressive members of Congress, like Senator Elizabeth Warren, are pushing to raise corporate tax rates to help pay for infrastructure improvements, and some are calling for a wealth tax. We're joined to talk about all this by Jeff Ernsthausen. He is with ProPublica, the senior data reporter who worked on the recent article, The Secret IRS Files, Trove of Never-Before-Seen Records Reveal How the Wealthiest Avoid Income Tax. Jeff, welcome.
Thanks for having me.
Well, beyond what I just said, give us a little bit more of a top-line summary of the reporting and what you found and the big takeaway.
Yeah, so our story is about a very basic concept, which is that you and I, most of the listeners out there, when we work, we earn wages or a salary, right? And taxes are taken automatically out of our paychecks each pay period, each month. The ultra wealthy are not in the tax system the same way. The bulk of their wealth, as it grows, it's not taxed until they choose to actually do something like sell a stock. So they can accrue vast fortunes, which is kind of the equivalent of income for us, and not pay taxes on it.
And so they have income, but, you know, in many cases, at least, it's just that they minimize incomes because that they have to pay a tax on that. But they also have ways of offsetting the income, right?
Yeah. So the sort of main thrust of our story is that in general, the ultra wealthy take very low income relative to the way that their wealth grows every year. And then in the years where they do have income, one of the advantages of arranging your life this way is that you're able to be strategic about it. So you may have a year where you take a lot of income, but that can also be a year where you make a lot of, say, donations to charity. Maybe you have losses in another part of your in another business. So you're able to then reduce the amount of taxes that you're going to pay when you do have income as well.
And in some cases, even get a credit that you can apply to future years, right?
That can be true in some cases. And, you know, some years for some household names have managed to get the number all the way down to zero. So in 2 years, Jeff Bezos in 2007 and 2011 paid nothing in federal income taxes. Elon Musk in 2018 paid nothing.
Hmm. And I guess partly this comes down to the idea of wealth versus income. Most of us have an income. We need to have an income. We've got to pay the rent, the mortgage, you know, whatever, our groceries, you name it. Whereas if you're super wealthy, you have an option not of getting dividends, which do get taxed, or capital gains, but you can, you know, reduce that and just take out a loan with, 3% interest, the way anyone could, but if they have so many assets that they get the very lowest income or interest rate. So how does that work?
Yeah, if you think about it, it's a lot like, you know, a homeowner can take out a loan, you know, home equity loan against the value of the house. So folks who have a lot of assets like stocks and bonds, et cetera, you can borrow against those assets as well. So from SEC disclosures, we know, for instance, that Elon Musk had taken out a large personal loan and pledged some $60 billion worth of Tesla shares to secure it. So, you know, one might think, well, it's not income. How are they living? Well, if one needs to get a hold of some cash in order to pay for things, they can do it through borrowing. And then that way they avoid, you know, the capital gains hit in taxes, and also you don't lose any of the shares of the company, so you can retain control.
And just to be clear, this is not cheating on your taxes.
No, this is all what we're reporting on is all perfectly legal. It's routine. There's an industry that sort of caters to how you manage your affairs to reduce your tax burden.
And I think the article points out that no one really did a better job of avoiding income taxes than Warren Buffett, who has, you know, sort of a grandfatherly image of this sort of vaguely philanthropic person. He paid 0.1% of his added wealth in taxes. Describe what that means, that added wealth, because that's really what the article is based on. You're looking at how these folks, the 25 richest Americans, how their wealth increased versus what the tax they paid over that same period of time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so Warren Buffett is the synonymous with his conglomerate Berkshire Hathaway, which owns some household names like Geico. And they somewhat famously have not really paid dividends. I think maybe there's a joke that he made that once they did, and he must have been out in the bathroom or something. But, you know, basically they don't pay dividends. And so he's taking a really low income when you look at how his wealth has grown. So his wealth, went up by more than $20 billion in the 5 years from 2014 to 2018. And his tax bill was about $20 million, which works out to about 0.1% when you look at taxes compared to wealth growth.
If you're just joining us, we're talking about ProPublica's bombshell report, really, about how the richest Americans like Jeff Bezos and Elon Musk managed to pay no federal income tax or very little. Jeff Ernsthausen is a senior data reporter with ProPublica. He worked on this series, and we'd love to hear from you. This is a half-hour segment. How does it make you feel to learn that billionaires like Bezos can legally avoid paying taxes? What should Congress and the IRS be doing to close these loopholes and make the wealthiest Americans pay their fair share? Give us a call at 866-733-6786. Again, it's 866-733-6786. You can also get in touch on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum, or if you like, you can email us. It's forum@kqed.org. And let me ask you, Jeff, about how this data was put together. As I said at the top, these were leaked IRS documents. As I understand it, ProPublica isn't even sure who leaked them, but you were able to verify that they were accurate. Can you say how you did that?
Yeah, I can describe that a little bit. So, you know, every now and then, the information on someone whose taxes we obtain, and we're talking here about thousands of the wealthiest Americans, the 1% of the 1%. Every now and then, those folks have either, you know, run for public office or had a public position that created, you know, places that one could look for consistency. And then, you know, we also, of course, went to all of the folks that we mentioned in the story and ran this information by them. So we have a lot of confidence that the information we're looking at is authentic.
Yeah. And did any of them comment?
Yeah, we got comment from several of them, and a few folks did not comment.
Anything notable that they said?
Well, I think they've emphasized that they pay the taxes that they're legally obligated to pay. That's the sort of main takeaway.
Yeah, and I guess in a way, I mean, they're right. Right. You can't. And of course, they and folks like them and corporation, they lobby for these things in the tax code that enable them to pay so little. But it's not like they're, quote unquote, getting away with anything in terms of breaking the law, as we said earlier.
No, they're following, they're in general, probably following the advice of tax attorneys and accountants.
Yeah. Let me read a couple of listener comments. Michael tweets, income isn't income till people get cash. ProPublica is arguing in favor of a property tax on people's investments. Jeff, how would you respond to that?
So again, for the average person, you know, you might, the typical American, they're taking in wages that make up the vast majority of what you'd think of as like their income. They might get a little bit of appreciation on their house, right? And for these guys, it's completely flipped. They might get a little bit of income, but they're getting vast appreciation. And in an economic sense, that's income. That's something they can use. They can borrow against it if need be. It's, you know, convertible into things they might want to acquire or influence in society. It's really the much more operative thing in the case of the ultra wealthy. And, you know, of course, we also do have property taxes, but then those are almost entirely on people's houses, right? And that's where typical Americans in the middle class, that's their wealth store, and we do have taxes on that.
Yeah. And then, of course, you know, often you'll hear of these folks, the richest 25 and others, buying huge yachts and planes. I think Larry Ellison from Oracle bought the entire island in Hawaii.
Yes.
So how does that enter into their figuring taxes? Do they have to pay any kind of tax on any of those sorts of transactions?
Yeah, certainly there's going to be, you know, in some instances, there's going to be sales taxes, right? Interestingly, if you think about the sort of full tax picture, sales taxes tend to fall a little heavier on typical Americans because you end up spending so much of what you bring in for, you know, basics. You end up actually paying a pretty high tax rate just via sales tax. And it ends up being much, much heavier on people who have to spend the majority of their income just to get through the year.
Here's another comment from Joel, who tweets, I know this sounds bad, but I think this is a prime example of, quote, don't hate the player, hate the game. Everyone keeps talking about fair share. The player and the game figured out how to avoid paying taxes. If I could do it, I would too. That's true. But of course, most of us don't have the wherewithal to do that, right? It's not an option. And B, we don't have the kind of influence with the tax code writers that these people do.
Yeah, I think our article was about, in that metaphor, about the game, right? It's that we don't look at, the conversation around taxes in this country has been focused on rates, marginal tax rates for decades. And, you know, what our reporting points out is that's not the entire picture.
What reaction are you getting?
You're probably capturing a good segment of, various, there's, you know, both many, many different opinions about the article.
Yeah. All right. We're going to continue our conversation about this series in ProPublica with Jeff Ernsthausen. And if you want to join us, give us a call at 866-733-6786. Again, 866-733-6786. Or if you like, get in touch on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum. And we know there's always the email option as well, forum@kqed.org. Scott Schaefer here this hour, and we have much more to talk about. Welcome back to Forum. Scott Schaefer here this hour. We're talking for this half hour with Jeff Ernsthausen, data reporter with ProPublica, about their recent series, The Secret IRS Files, Trove of Never-Before-Seen Records Reveal How the Wealthiest Avoid Income Tax. Join us at 866-733-6786. Again, it's 866-733-6786. Or Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum. Let's go to Palo Alto first. And Ben, welcome.
Thanks. I totally agree with the main point of the writing. I just worry because the headline and the promotion really delves into the sensationalism. Tax will be paid on all of this wealth at some point. It's true that there's no income tax, there's no W-2 income that these people are taking. But when they eventually sell that stock, when they eventually die and leave it to their heirs, there will be taxes paid on all that wealth. Do you agree with that?
Well, Jeff, I think you know there is the estate tax, but of course there have been efforts to eliminate that, and it's been I'll ask you, like, what is the answer to Ben's point about they'll eventually pay taxes on all this?
Yeah, thanks for that, Ben. So there are a couple things. One is that there is an industry around managing wealth as one approaches the end of one's life, and through things like trusts, you can manage to minimize your estate quite a bit going into that. We got an interesting response from Warren Buffett on this, which is that I'm giving away all of my money before I die, right? And so he'll give that money away, and who he gives it to will probably, probably will do a lot of good with it. But at no point, that means that at no point will that wealth be taxed. It's not like he has to sell the shares to then donate it. He gets to donate it at the full value. And that means that Warren Buffett's going to be able to choose the kinds of things he wants his money to support, while the rest of us are going to pay into the general fund when we pay our taxes. So there's a distinction there, but it's not clear that these things will actually all be taxed at some point.
And as you say, Buffett and others say they're going to give away their wealth as opposed to leaving it for their children. But there are others who will leave it to their families. What happens then in terms of the tax consequences?
Yeah, and then I think there's, as I mentioned, there's an industry kind of dedicated to that. There's a couple of things that one can do to minimize or at least lower that bill a bit, and still manage to pass on assets. There's a type of trust by which you basically pay into it. It benefits a charity for some years, but if there's assets left in it afterwards, those can pass on tax-free. So there are mechanisms for reducing that burden. In fact, one of the arguments being made when the estate tax was repealed was that this was going to hit people who couldn't afford those kinds of services, and the people who could afford them would not pay the estate tax.
Ben, does that respond to your point?
Yeah, it does. It does. But I just, again, I really want to caution that the headline that says they pay no taxes, it's just technically not completely correct.
All right. Thanks for the call. I mean, it does have a point, Jeff, right? I mean, they do pay taxes, but we're talking specifically about income taxes, really.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. And if you, again, if you look at that burden compared to what the typical worker is paying in, it's, typical worker's paying 14% in federal income, Social Security, and Medicare, and that's on what's most operative to them, which is their income.
Here's a comment from listener Curtis, who writes, I think it's worth noting that the relatively new rich, like Bezos and Elon Musk, may make the headlines, but the rules allowing the wealthy to get away with not being taxed have been in place for decades, and generations of the wealthy have always manipulated politicians to keep the rules in their favor. And then Bill writes, according to the numbers in the ProPublica story, the named individuals have been paying about 20% of their actual income in taxes. That doesn't seem like little to no income tax to me. Jeff, I thought that number was much lower than 20, though.
Actually, using the IRS's definition of income, just what registered income or taxes divided by income as the IRS considers it, this group paid about 16%, which is substantially lower than quite a large swath of Americans.
Yeah, and so it's not that they're, and it may sound, because it's billions of dollars, these 25, I think, paid a total of $13.6 billion in federal income taxes. That's a lot of money, but relative to what they have and what their wealth is, it's not so much.
Correct.
What do you think of this whole notion of paying your fair share? I mean, what would be fair?
Well, we're as investigative journalists, solutions are not necessarily our domain, and we think that the conversation should be informed by having all of the relevant facts, and we think it's relevant to the discussion what the wealthiest among us are paying. It seems relevant that a huge part of what they have sort of in capacity to pay is not part of the system.
All right, let me give out the phone number again, 866-733-6786. We're talking until about 20 of 10 about this ProPublica series on the super rich and how much or how little income tax they pay. If you want to join us, again, it's 866-733-6786. You can also get in touch on Twitter and Facebook. We're at KQED Forum, or email forum@kqed.org. Here's a comment from Ken, who writes, "What about state income taxes? I think many people would like to hear how much these wealthy individuals pay in state income taxes." And of course, that varies very much by state. California is a state that relies heavily, in fact, disproportionately so, on our revenues from the highest income earners, exactly people like this. And Elon Musk, in fact, famously complained about that and said he was leaving California to avoid those taxes. He's not the only one, right, Jeff?
I've heard that anecdotally. I'm curious how that's playing out. If one gets under the hood and finds the data on people leaving California, it's a good point. Our story, of course, is focused on federal income taxes, and that's where we focused our reporting.
But we do hear a lot of criticism of California, not just from these wealthy individuals, but from critics of our tax system. In fact, some Democrats say that we should have a comprehensive tax reform in California, because we do disproportionately rely on a very small percentage of earners for a large percentage of our revenue. Now, in this particular past year, it's been a real boon to California because we have $76 billion in unanticipated revenue. That's larger than the entire state budget of all but three states. So, Jeff, I guess the question is, I realize you're just crunching numbers here, but it would seem to me that based on your reporting at ProPublica, there is a pretty good argument for a state like California saying, look, we're going to capture this money somehow. If the federal government doesn't want it, fine, but we'll take it.
I'm not familiar with the specifics of California, although I am a recent I recently moved there, but I'm not sure exactly what the California budget situation is. I remember there being some proposal related to this, I think, that was up in the early part of the year, but I unfortunately haven't followed that.
Here's another comment. Kyle tweets, "What is most frustrating about ultra-billionaires is when they poise themselves as philanthropic but give less than the taxes would be." And then Jordan writes, "This is sensationalist reporting on nothing. We're all better off having these individuals taking risks and starting very beneficial businesses. The story should be that more people should manage their financial lives better, stop buying coffees and save $1,000 a year and invest it." That almost seems like a comment intended to infuriate people. But, you could say that a lot, certainly these folks, many of them, do create things that we all use and rely on. I mean, Elon Musk, of course, is totally changing the electric car market. There are a lot of good things that come, but that's a separate question from how much taxes they should be paying.
Yeah, absolutely. And this is our reporting's not on, good or bad for everything that folks do in their lives. I mean, so sure, people, we these are household names where we use their products, things like that, right?
Well, this series of the stories, and the story, and I know there's more coming out. I'll ask you about that in a second. But it comes as the Biden administration is calling to raise the corporate income tax. There's a lot of pushback in Congress from Republicans. And then there was an article in the New York Times yesterday by several former Treasury secretaries, Republican and Democratic, saying that there's about $600 billion a year in taxes that are not paid. And, sometimes, in many cases, it's just super wealthy people just don't even bother filing their taxes, but there's so few audits now that it's a lot easier to get away with that.
Yeah, it's been interesting to follow us, particularly, some of my colleagues here have been reporting on that for the last several years, what an enforcement, staffed enforcement office would look like.
What is going to come next? I mean, you're going to be continuing, and you have a ton of data now that you have. How are you thinking about using it?
Well, of course, we're going to be very careful in working with it. And we want to make sure that what we're doing with this is reporting that's in the public interest. Can't comment on the direction the future reporting will go, but we are planning to continue writing stories using this information in the months ahead.
I know that you can't or won't comment a lot on the fact that you used data that was leaked and you're not really sure where it came from. And I know that you verified that it was accurate. But, you know, I'm curious what kinds of conversations happened at the ProPublica newsroom you know, whether there was any disagreement about whether to use data that you didn't really know what the source was exactly.
Yeah, I can't really comment on the sort of internal deliberations around that. I think for us, the main consideration was, is this legitimate? Is this authentic? And we were able to verify that, yes, and it was.
All right. We're going to leave it there. Jeff Ernsthausen, senior data reporter with ProPublica, reporting on the recent article, The Secret IRS File. Trove of never-before-seen records reveal how the wealthiest avoid income tax. Jeff, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for having me.
We're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about water or the lack thereof. We've got a drought, folks.
Do you love your local bookstore? Well, I have the perfect event for you. This Saturday, April 27th, is Independent Bookstore Day. It's a day to celebrate your favorite local bookstore. I'm Olivia Allen Price, host of the Bay Curious podcast here at KQED, and I'm popping in to let you know that we will be hosting an event at Green Apple Books in San Francisco for the occasion. Come out for an author Q&A about the Bay Curious book. We'll be playing some Bay Area-themed trivia. There will be prizes and so much more. And the best part, tickets are donation-based, and all proceeds go to the Prisoners Literature Project. Learn more at kqed.org/live. I hope to see you there.
Take your Wi-Fi further with wall-to-wall Wi-Fi from Xfinity. With fast speeds and reliable coverage, home just got even sweeter with the Xfinity 10G network. Restrictions apply, not available in all areas. Actual speeds vary.